From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns welcoming you once again to Let the Bible Speak, as we continue our study of the law of God. For a number of weeks now, I have been engaged in an overseas preaching tour. That has led to a temporary change in the format of the program, as I haven't been able to record the commentaries on the hot topics that we usually cover here on Let the Bible Speak. However, the change may actually have been a benefit, as the temporary format has given us a lot more time to devote to each day's Bible study. That's helpful in our present study of the law of God. As we continue that study, we come today to consider the second great commandment of the law, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, stay tuned for today's broadcast. Many of you have been good enough to write or call us to express your gratitude for the program. I have been greatly heartened by your response, which is vital for the continuation of any radio ministry. This is a two-way street, and it's essential that we hear from our listeners to know that the Lord is blessing and using His Word. We try to make good, helpful resources available to you free of charge, and I trust that you will be able to avail yourself of them. Remember the various special messages on cassette or CD that we have mentioned, for example, the Lives of the Great Reformers and Dr. Edward Panosian's message on Islam. Remember also our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, which always makes good reading. And, of course, our monthly Let the Bible Speak audio magazine, a CD or cassette with testimonies, Bible studies, and music to bless the heart that will come to you each month. You may obtain any or all of these by writing or calling us here at Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. Remember our website, ltbsradio.com, ltbsradio.com. There you'll find many items of interest, including our broadcasts, our commentaries, both in audio and text versions, and, of course, our internet bookstore. And there also, you can email me directly. You can use the ltbsradio.com site to send your emails to me. So make sure to visit us today.
very easy to dismiss the poor and the needy. There's a scripture that haunts me, because this love not only will deal with their bodies, it will pay attention to their spiritual needs. And the scripture that haunts me is this: the Lord Jesus sent word to John the Baptist as the final proof that John could be sure this is the true Messiah. And this is what he said: go and tell him, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Look at America tonight. Look at America tonight. Where has the gospel mostly been preached in America this Sabbath day? The gospel has mostly been preached in suburbia, just where we are. The gospel has been preached, but I fear in all too many cases, the poor do not have the gospel preached unto them. Now, we can blame what we will. We can curse governments and political theories all we will. But Jesus said, you love your neighbor with the love that will reach his spiritual needs, that will labor for him in prayer, that will reach to him in evangelism, that will then seek to build him up in discipleship, that will give of yourself and your substance to do the work of God among the poor. And that will do it. This is a passing thought you might want to give a great deal more consideration to. That will do it out of respect for him and for his advantage and not your own. We have all met people who are very good, apparently, at giving to the poor, or even of ministering to the poor. As long as they can lord it over them, as long as they can get some advantage, whether in money or in reputation. But what Jesus is teaching is, you love them as yourself. Do good to them in body, do good to them in soul. Labor to present them saved before God. When I preached on the parable of the Good Samaritan, I'm going to come to it just now, but when I preached on this a year and a half, 2 years ago, I quoted to you the words of John Wesley. It summed it all up for me. When he used to tell the old Methodist preachers, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, to all the people you can. That, to me, sums up this precept: love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the Savior illustrates that with the story of the Good Samaritan. That story is more than a nice story. What it is a divine explanation of loving your neighbor. And this is what it does. It identifies your neighbor. You notice this fellow said to the Savior, who is my neighbor? Now, I got to thinking about that. Who is my neighbor? Notice the Savior's answer. And the Savior's answer, in effect, says, if you were the man lying on the Jericho road, hurting and near to death, you would have no trouble whatsoever recognizing your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? That question, really, can only be asked by a carnal, self-complacent, hard-hearted, self-centered man who knows little or nothing of real love for God or man. Who is my neighbor? Jesus makes the answer very clear. Anybody to whom we can be a neighbor is our neighbor. When I preached on the Good Samaritan, I gave you an illustration, and I'm going to repeat it tonight because I don't know of anything better to illustrate this point exactly. Do you remember a few years ago, When we had the riots in Los Angeles, after the police officers had been found not guilty of beating up Rodney King, remember those riots that set South Central Los Angeles ablaze, and there was looting and there was murder and pillage of every description. And the news cameras of the world captured the scene of a white lorry driver, a white truck driver, driving through that segment of Los Angeles, Reginald Denny, his truck brought to a halt by the crowds. Young black man reaching up to pull him down from his cab, though he knew nothing about what was going on, and they started to kick him to death. Just around the corner, a young black woman was watching television, and she saw this, and she immediately ran from her home. She said, "I can't let it happen." She pushed through the crowd. She fought like a tigress to put off these men who were kicking this white man to death. And she succeeded. Another young black man saw the same thing, and he rushed in. And when he got the chance, he pulled Denny back into his cab. And though he was putting his own life in danger, he began to drive that cab and that man away to safety. Tell me, if you were to go to Denny today, would he have the slightest difficulty recognizing who his neighbor was? Who was his neighbor? The TV men who were more interested in their story and saving their own little skin? No. There must have been enough reporters there to have at least made an attempt to save his life. But the story was more important than the man. But a frail little black girl and a trembling little black fella, they went into the mob and they saved his life. They were his neighbors. Who is my neighbor? God forgive us for being so pig-headed and big-headed that we even need to ask. The parable of the Good Samaritan identifies your neighbor, and it exemplifies your duty. A priest and a Levite saw the man lying at the point of death, and they passed by on the other side. For why, we don't know. It could have been for religious reasons. It could have been for fear. It could have been they were afraid that the same people may be near at hand and that they would also be set upon. There could have been 101 reasons, but they looked on him, they saw him, and they passed by. What is your duty? You must not pass by on the other side. You mustn't pass by no matter how many other people do it. No matter how respectable they are. You must not ignore need where you see it. You must not put your own comfort before the needs of others. You must not allow prejudice to harden your heart. The Samaritan was just that. He was a Samaritan. The answer of the lawyer to Jesus makes it abundantly clear to me. If he had gone down the Jericho road and found a Samaritan wallowing in his own blood, he would never have stopped to help him. Never. He couldn't even find it in his vocabulary to refer to the man by his proper description. What Jesus is saying is this: the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now the Samaritans with the Jews, they hated each other. You talk about race relations in America or in Britain or some other place, look, they are calm compared to what you had between the Samaritans and the Jews. But Jesus says you are not to allow the prejudice that men have invented to harden your heart. What are you to do? You're to see the need and look with compassion. If there's one thing that's missing in our hearts today, it is just plain, simple, old-fashioned compassion. To look with compassion. To feel with those who are hurt. To get involved and don't simply leave it to others. To pay whatever price is necessary. And to make a love for others your ongoing activity and service. Do you notice the Samaritan, what he did? He tended the man by the roadside. He put him on his own beast. He brought him to the inn. He took care of him in the inn. He paid for his keep. And he said, I will come back and I will make sure that all the bill is paid. He returned to complete the job. If I could add to our lack of compassion, sometimes is a more insidious sin, and it's this: we want to do good, but we want to do it now. We want to do it now. And if the response is not fast enough, then we drop off and we lose interest. Sometimes that can have dreadful consequences. If you go back in the early days of the Protestant Reformation, there was no man with a bigger heart than Martin Luther. Martin Luther, unlike the Romanist leaders of his day, unlike the political leaders of his day, Martin Luther had a big heart for the Jewish people. He had a zeal to see them saved. And he saw the Protestant Reformation and what was happening in Germany as a glorious opportunity for the Jews to be brought into the kingdom. And with love for the Jews, he set out to do that. But they didn't respond, at least not quickly enough or in numbers enough. And even the great reformer, in his folly, turned what was love into a violent hatred, and he cursed them. And while it is a mangling of history to blame the Nazi Holocaust and Martin Luther, that is a mangling of history indeed, yet nonetheless, down through the centuries ever since, Jew baiters and Jew haters have appealed to Martin Luther's crudeness. And what was wrong with him? He was a man with a big heart. But as far as the Jews were concerned, he didn't stay the course. It's very easy for us to do that. Winning the lost for Christ is not quick work. It's not easy work. God says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The illustration is the Good Samaritan. That story identifies your neighbor. That story exemplifies your duty. But best of all, that story typifies your Savior. The Good Samaritan, ideally, has his perfect fulfillment in Christ. You were that man lying at the gate of death. Religion passed you by and couldn't do that much for you. Then Jesus came. And he stopped. And he looked. And he loved. And he lifted you. He paid the price for your deliverance. That's how Christ treated you. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were dark and depraved and dominated by the devil, God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, quickened us together with Christ. That's how he treated us. Now the question, Can you treat others in any other way? If God loved you, could you deal with others except in the love of God? Be ye kind, said Paul, one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, or God for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So we come full circle. God has loved us. God's love for us has begotten in us a love for Him. And loving Him is the key to loving ourselves and loving others. Now this is the law of God. This is how we are to live. We are to live our lives in love. That's not the pop psychology of the 20th century. That is the ageless teaching of the Word of God. We're to live our lives in this triple love, this love for God that enables to look at ourselves rightly related to God through Christ and enables us to reach out even to the most unlovely to seek to win them for Christ. We're to live in this triple love. This is true love. This is true obedience. This is true holiness. Indeed, this is true life. This is life. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I trust tonight that this summary teaching of the Ten Commandments will get through to our heart. Loving God and loving man. I trust tonight that this very standard of the law will drive those of you who are not saved to embrace Christ, in whom the love of God is perfectly revealed. And if you are a Christian, I trust tonight that this teaching of the law of God will teach you what life is all about. So many people who say they're saved, they're just struggling and they're just like a drunken man staggering from crisis to crisis with empty lives, the shell of an existence. There's nothing worse than having the big terms of the gospel in your lips and the emptiness of the world in your heart. Is there anything worse than big profession and no possession? Living your life in the love of God for you, in your love for Him, in being able to understand yourself and indeed enjoy what you are and have in Christ. Reach out to others with the big heart of the gospel. You know, that is life. I trust that God will teach us that love. And God will teach us that life.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. it's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.